Okay, well, it's so nice to have each of you here. And today we're going to talk about how to study the Bible with others. And it's a very relevant subject, so I hope it can be of use for all of us. But let's begin with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we have this opportunity to reach out to other people. And I pray that you would guide us now as we learn how we can do it in the best way. Guide us and be with us with your Holy Spirit. And I thank you for doing that. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In 1 Peter, if we turn there to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23, we read a very interesting text. And there it says what it is that brings conversion to a person. Is there anyone that can, if I ask the question, what is it that makes someone born again? What would you answer? Holy Spirit? Absolutely. But there's one aspect that's really important, and we can read about that in 1 Peter 1, verse 23. And there it says, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. So it's absolutely true that it's through the Holy Spirit, but there's another aspect that the Holy Spirit needs to work through, and what is that? The Bible, the word of God. So can we expect people to become converted if they don't come in contact with this book? No. They need the Bible to be converted. They need to come in contact with God's word. So that's why we have an important role of bringing God's word to people, because that's what really can change lives. We have an encouraging promise about this from Nine Testimonies, Volume 9, page 26. It says, hundreds and thousands were seen visiting families and opening before them the word of God. Hearts were convicted by the power of the Holy Spirit, and a spirit of genuine conversion was manifest. On every side, doors were thrown open to the proclamation of the truth. So, how many did Ellen White see going around to people's homes sharing the word of God? A few pastors and employed people? She saw thousands, many people, and I can't imagine that that is only the pastors and the elders in the church doing this. If it's so many, it needs to be also including us, you and I, lay people, who are going around sharing God's word. And there's a promise that there will be people converted because of this, and that doors will be thrown open to the proclamation of the truth. So how do we do this practically? How do we find ways to talk to people about spiritual things? I want to first discuss some practical ways of getting onto a spiritual topic with people, and then we'll talk about how to actually have a Bible study with someone. And hopefully, if we have enough time in the end, you'll get to practice one together with each other. So, some of simple ways of finding people, meeting people, is, well, our first realm of influence. What is that? Our friends, our family. Those are kind of the first, if we have a circle around us, those are our first realm of influence. And there we have our first opportunity. Maybe we have a family member who's doesn't know Jesus like we do, or something like that. And we can find ways of meeting these people. But there's many other ways also. Visitors in the church. And many times we think, well, they've come to church now. Now it's all right. I don't need to do anything. But actually, that's when you need to start doing something. When you see there's a visitor come to church, and you need to make the most out of the opportunity. I like to say that when you go to church or anywhere, you need to have a spiritual antennas on that are thinking and looking around for an opportunity for someone who maybe has a little door open of spiritual interest. I was one time in a church here in Sweden, where I lived for a time, and there came a lady to church, and she had not been there before. And she actually went first to the pastor and was talking with them and saying she was interested in spiritual things and so on. But she was English speaking, and he couldn't understand her. So he brought her to me and said, please talk with her. She has some interest. So I talked with her, and she told me this first time she came to church. She said, I want to be baptized. And I was thinking, whoa, you just came here. But she was so sincere. She had already been watching TV, 3ABN, and she came now ready, wanting to be baptized. We began studying together, actually, and she was baptized a time after that. Glory to God. But as you see, there's many opportunities, even just from visitors. Sometimes maybe they don't come in asking to be baptized. Maybe they're just walking on the street and they see, maybe I'll check this church out. And so then you can just begin a conversation, get to know them. Maybe you don't directly ask them, would you like to study the Bible with me? But you see how God leads, and you can meet, watch out for visitors and try at least to make a friendship with them and get to know them. Then there's door-to-door surveys. This is actually a good way to learn what your community is like. We've used this, my husband and I, surveys, and we're going to be trying to put some up on this website that you see at the end of your paper, rupana.sc, where you can get some resources for Bible studies with others. But anyways, we use a survey that's maybe 10, 11 questions. That's kind of a spiritual survey to ask, to find out what the spirituality of the community is like. It's non-offensive, and most people are willing to give a couple of minutes to answer the survey. And at the end, we have a question of something like, if you had the opportunity, would you like to study the Bible more? And sometimes people say no, and you say, all right, well, thank you very much. Here's something for your time. And you give them a tract or something like that. And other times, they say, well, actually, that's something I might be interested in. And then you can go on and say, well, you know, my friend and I, we like to study together with people and so on. And then you can book a Bible study with them. And this method, sometimes people think, oh, it doesn't work. Everyone will close the door on you. But actually, if you are perseverant and patient, you will find these people who are earnestly looking to heaven out there. Just like we read in the quote, that doors will be open to you. I remember an experience also in Sweden of a church member and my husband went out to go door knocking. And he was very skeptical to this idea of knocking on doors and finding a Bible study. So they were knocking on doors and no one was answering them and opening up to them. And they were getting to the end of their time and no one was opening. And they came about to the last door they would knock on. And they opened it. He did the survey. And the person said they wanted to have Bible studies at the end. And this was such a shock to this church member, because he realized, wow, there really is people who are willing, if I come and knock on a door, to that are interested to study the Bible. So they began studying the Bible after that. Other methods, and some of the most greatest opportunities, are just in everyday life. To give, like, school or work or whatever you do throughout the day, even when you're traveling on the train or the bus or at the airport. I think most of my opportunities have been found through this everyday life experience. For example, in the U.S. where I came from, I was going to school there, and I had this one classmate I was getting to know more and more, and we would talk together sometimes, and I noticed she had a little bit of spiritual interest. And so one day she was sharing some difficulties in her life that she was struggling with, and I thought, oh, I can encourage her with some promises or something from the Bible. So we talked a little bit, and then I ironically remembered that I had prayed a very dangerous prayer recently. And can you guess what that prayer might have been? What did you say? Yes, it was a radical prayer. I prayed to God that he would send me someone to study the Bible with. And it's a very dangerous prayer to pray, because he just might answer it. Actually, he will answer it. And so I was thinking, maybe this is God answering my prayer. Maybe this is an opportunity. So we talked, and the conversation was opening up. So then I asked her, you know, would you like to meet some more and study God's word some more? And she said yes. And so we began studying after that more, and she was very interested in God's word. So even just in regular life, you can meet people and build a friendship with them and have a door of opportunity for studying the Bible with them. Even in when you're riding on the train or on the airplane, you can get up a conversation with someone, and I've been able to have several conversations with people. Maybe you will not meet them again sometimes, but at least you can sow seeds and talk about spiritual things. And we'll talk in just a couple of moments of how you can get such a conversation going. But other than that, there's also other opportunities, such as through the events that your local church has for evangelism, such as where we work, we have a lot of things like health expos, cooking demonstrations, there's a lot of different things, health lectures, kind of not necessarily directly spiritual things, but things that meet the needs of the community through health and practical things. And you can meet people, gain a friendship, build a relationship with these people through that method. And God will give opportunities if we have our eyes open for them. If we are just going through our day focusing on what we need to do next, we will most likely miss these opportunities that God will put in our way. But if we are thinking, if we pray that dangerous prayer, and then we keep our eyes open, God will send us someone in our path to share God's word with. So what do we talk about? How do we get this conversation going? There's a really simple acronym you can remember, SHIRT, just like you have a shirt that you wear. And this is kind of how you can get a conversation going with someone that can lead to spiritual things. To start a conversation with a complete stranger, you can wonder, how do I start talking to a complete stranger? And oftentimes, it's easiest just to comment on something you're both experiencing, like the weather, or if you're eating together at a restaurant, the food, you know, this is really great food today, or that tasted pretty bad, or whatever it is. Or even if you're having a delay in the train or something, you can just comment something you're both experiencing that you can get up a conversation with. Then from there, you can start asking them. The S stands in short stands for themselves, self. So most people like to talk about themselves. So you can ask them, oh, what's your name? Where are you from? And kind of just ask questions that get them to tell a little bit about who they are. Then H is for home. Do they have a family, siblings, children, and so on. And then I is for interest. Do they have any hobbies? What do they enjoy doing? Maybe someone likes to go skiing and you say, oh, I like that too, and have you been to such and such a place? And you want to have a real genuine conversation to show you are interested and who they are as a person. And then from here you can try to glide into spiritual aspects. And if you ask here, the R is for religion. And if you ask right here, so what religion are you? It's kind of offensive for most people, and they will put up a barrier and say, well, that's none of your business, something like that. But an easier way and more non-offensive way to ask this is, does your family have any religious background? It's not pointing to them directly, but it's their family. So they don't take up so much offense at that. So most times they will answer and say, oh, they're such a church. And then most of the time they will also tell you what they are, what they believe, or what their worldview is like. And then from there, you can tell your testimony, a very short, brief, concise summary of what God has done in your life. No more than 3 minutes, so not a sermon. Just a short testimony of what God has meant to you in your life. And remember, that this famous quote, that Christ's method alone will bring true success in reaching the people. The Savior mingled with men as one who desired their good, and he showed his sympathy for them, ministered to their needs, and won their confidence. Then he bade them, follow me. So we need to show that we genuinely care for people, that we don't just have an agenda to get them to study the Bible with us. Even though that's what we desire, it's not an agenda, because we truly care about them. We care even in the early stage, so to speak. We care to know who they are, how we can help them in everyday life, just like Christ would do. So one way that we can show this is through being a good listener. And here's another acronym, which is EAR. So you can remember to be a good listener. And that's to have a... Yeah, is there a question?
It's possible to borrow pencils.
I don't have any extra ones, but I have myself some that you can borrow if you'd like. I have pens, if that works, or if you find someone else.
I can give you.
And feel free to interrupt me and ask a question if you have any. All right. So this acronym EAR, E is for expression, the expression on your face. Oh, yes? The first acronym is SHIRT. Did everyone get one of these papers?
Oh, it's there.
Yeah, most of what I'm saying will be on there, but you can also write. I think they are maybe, I don't know where they ended up, if there's any left. And they got passed around. So I can make more copies, and I'll put them, if anyone, no one has them, I'll put them at the Vegana booth in there, some more copies if someone would like them. So the first acronym was shirt, and then this one is ear. So to have an appropriate expression on your face when you're looking, listening to someone, you don't look stone-faced and like, this is the most boring thing in the world I'm listening to. But you have an appropriate expression when you're listening to someone. And also to have your attention focused on them, to look at them in the face, in the eyes, not to stare off somewhere else and so on, but to look at them, show them that they are the center of your attention. And also to have appropriate response. If they say, well, oh, my grandmother just passed away last week, you don't say, oh, that's great to hear. You know, you will show that you have been, if you have really been listening, you will have appropriate response. But it will show if you have not been listening to what they're saying that you will have strange responses. So I don't know if we have time to go through the how to tell your testimony part. It's just some brief comments there on the paper that you can look at as guidelines how you can do this. And just one thing I want to mention from here is to not glamorize sin. Many times it's a temptation. Maybe if we've had a dramatic experience in our life, a turnaround, we want to say, tell everything that happened to us before that. But we want to put Jesus as a focus, what he has done for us, and not what we have done for Satan. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So let's just touch very briefly on what our life has been like before we met Jesus and put the focus on what Jesus has done for us. So how do we give a Bible study then? There's a structure to a Bible study, quite similar to maybe a paper, an essay, or something like that. But first, what is the purpose of giving an actual Bible study? What do you want to accomplish through a Bible study? And what would one of you say? Why give a Bible study to someone? What do you want to happen from that Bible study?
Make decisions for
Jesus. Mm? Yeah, to make a decision, absolutely. Anything else?
Knowledge about God.
Yes, knowledge about God, absolutely. Anything
love
else?
God.
Excuse me?
To love God.
Yes, to love God. Oh, you're each touching on all of the aspects, and there's really three things that you want to happen from a Bible study. You want them to receive the knowledge, the intellectual understanding of truth, but it's not enough if it only touches the intellect. They will not come to that point where they make a decision then. Many people know the theory, but that doesn't mean that their life is changed because of it.
Conviction.
Yes, they need conviction, and they need this theory to reach the heart as well. There's some verses that you can look up later also in relation to this that are on your papers. And so you need it to reach the make sure that the information comes to them clearly, they understand it, but also that their emotions are touched, that both aspects of their nature are human, as being a human being, are touched and involved in this. And then finally, that they are convicted or persuaded to make a decision, that they take a step because of this knowledge and experience that they have. And this is very important. I think of it like, you know when you maybe buy a fish at the store, it's in a plastic bag sometimes, and you have a little goldfish or something in water swimming there? What happens if you just fill the bag with the water and the goldfish, but you don't close the bag and you carry it around? What will happen? It's very hard to hold it upright, and it will quickly fall out. Everything will fall out because it's a bag with water. And it's very important that you tightly close off the end. And this is, I see this like the decision part of a Bible study. If you leave a Bible study not asking them to make some decision, even if it's a very small decision, it's like everything else can very easily just fall out and be as if they had never heard it. For example, I know a pastor who had been studying with an individual through, I think, like all the doctrinal points of our beliefs, and this person had been understanding it all. They had been consenting, I understand this each time, and been going through them all. And then he was coming to the end when was very happy. He thought, now I'll ask them, would you like to be baptized? And I'm sure, you know, we've gone so far, they will say yes, I'm sure. But then he got to that point and he said, would you like to be baptized? And what do you think they answered? No. They said no. And he was shocked and he thought, we've gone all this way. Why don't they want to be baptized? You know what had happened. He had not asked them to take a step at each Bible study that they had had before. So when they came to the decision of baptism, that was a huge step for this person. They had never accustomed themselves to make a step, to make a decision for Christ before. So that's why it's important at every single Bible study you have to ask in the end to have an appeal, to have asked them to make a decision, even though it may be a small decision, so that when they come to this baptism decision, it's no longer a big step that they need to climb up on, but it's just a little step. They can say, yes, I'm willing to do that. So, inform the intellect, touch the emotions, and persuade them to make a decision. So the structure of an actual Bible study that you would have, I can say that at this website you see at the end of your paper, you have Bible study material that you can use there. It's in Swedish. And there's about 24 Bible studies there, I believe. And they are in order going through a series that you can use with a friend, with anyone that you meet to go through a Bible study series with them. And I will demonstrate one of these Bible studies for you, and then you can hopefully practice them afterward. Yes?
Do you know any good resource for English Bible studies?
There are actually quite a few. A good one is through Amazing Facts. You can go to their website, amazingfacts.org. Yes. And I think there's another one called New Start that is in English. And Amazing Facts has online that you can download, actually. You can go through their resources. And yes, that's true. There's quite a lot. Once you get to the English realm, there's quite a lot of resources there. So I hope that helps. And so the structure, you begin with a simple, short prayer. Doesn't have to be lengthy. Sincere prayer of just thank you, God, that we can gather together and be with us now as we read the Bible. And then once you pray, then you introduce, what are you going to talk about? For example, if you're going to study the Great Controversy with someone, this topic, you can say, oh, you know, many people have wondered how can, if there's a good God, be so much evil that happens in the world. And I thought we would look today at what the Bible has to say about this. Let's go to da-da-da, and then your first text that you go to. So you just give a simple introduction of what you're going to talk about. Then you have the body of your Bible study and the more lengthy part. And here you will have a series of verses or texts. And you don't want it to be a very lengthy Bible study because people, they will not retain the information that you give them. It's better to have something short and concise that they will remember. So we usually have studies that maybe are range from 8 to 12 texts that you have max. You don't need to share all the text there is on one topic because it will be like, you are overwhelmed by all their information and they will not remember anything. So, and remember to apply it practically, to use illustrations, just like Jesus used parables when he was teaching, to help the people understand. Use as much as possible in your Bible studies practical illustrations that people can relate to in their everyday life. And teach them to use their Bibles. When you're looking up a text, don't begin reading until they have found the place also in their Bibles. It's a simple thing, but it's really important so that they can follow along in their own Bible, and also so that they learn how to find in verses in their own Bible. And you'll soon find that they can find up verses almost faster than you. So they learn pretty quickly, usually.
I also learned that it's better that I don't read it. between reading
yes,
the text.
Yes. Many times we take turns.
Yeah.
If you have a group also, that you give opportunity for different people to read. That's very good, that you're not reading it yourself all the time. And most importantly, almost of everything, is to be enthusiastic. There was once an actor who was speaking with a preacher, and the preacher was wondering, like, why do people flock to what you're doing? Why do they are so enamored by what you're doing? And the actor was saying, well, you know, we treat things that are not real as though they are real. And you in the pulpit treat things that are real as though they are not real. So we need to show our enthusiasm if these things are really real that we're sharing, if it really is about life and death. We need to be enthusiastic about that and show that this is not just, you know, I have a little bit of information I'd like to share with you if you care to listen. You need to be enthusiastic and show that you have something special that they need to hear. And finally, and very importantly, is to conclude not just with saying, all right, thank you for your time and let's pray now, but have an appeal at the end. It can be a simple question. For example, if you've been studying the first study that we usually have, I'll demonstrate it a bit later, which is the study of the trustworthiness of the Bible, and we go through Daniel 2, the prophecy of Daniel 2. And at the end, you can ask them, have you seen from what we have read that the Bible is a unique and trustworthy book? Or you can say, I'll give some examples of different types of appeals depending on people at the end. But it's very important to ask them to make a simple decision. Would you be willing to continue investigating this book and see what it has to say? And then if they say yes, then that's great. And so, for example, if you're studying salvation, is there anything that would hinder you from accepting Jesus into your life? And I like to phrase it that way instead of, would you like to accept Jesus in your life? I like to phrase it instead, is there anything that would keep you from, or is there anything that would hinder you? Because many times if you just ask, would you like to do this? People are like, well, I don't know, I don't think so, not yet maybe. But if you ask such a pressing question, is there anything that would keep you from doing it? Why should you not do this? If you put it in that light, they will look at what are the hinders really for me doing this. And maybe there really is none. And then they will say, yes, I will do this. But that's a whole other seminar about appeals. So we'll just move on from there. But just important to ask them to make a decision. So keep your Bible studies short. I know from experience a temptation to... You think, oh, we're having such a good discussion and they have so many questions and you just want to keep talking with them, and it's going 1 hour and then 2 hours and then you're there a long time. And, you know, most people have a very busy life and they have their work and many things happening. And if each week you're going to meet with them for 2 hours or something like that, they're going to think, oh, I don't really have time for this. And then they will stop wanting to have their Bible studies with you. But if you leave them wishing they had more, you will always have time to come back to them and share more with them. You would rather that they are wishing that you would talk more with them than that they are wishing you would stop and go, you know? So keep your Bible studies between 30 to 60 minutes long. And sit at a place that is conducive to a study environment, not with a lot of distractions. Like, don't sit next to the TV, because it's very easy to have, especially if it's on, distractions, or in a sofa. People are more relaxed and not maybe so awake in the mind. You want to sleep maybe or something. But sit at a table where you can discuss and you have more, your mind is awake to understand what you're reading. And just some tips to think about is to do your small talk and chatting before the actual Bible study. Because if you've just had a moving appeal, the Holy Spirit is working on their hearts, and then afterward you start talking about, oh, did you see the game last night and who won? And oh, that was really cool what happened. Then you destroy the whole atmosphere that God has put in that place in their hearts. So try to, after you finish the appeal, you've prayed a closing prayer, then try to get out of there as quick as you can. Not rudely, of course, but try to just politely go on and leave them with this atmosphere, with this decision that they have made. And talk with them, small talk in the beginning when you first come there. And oftentimes, even myself, I've been that way. Many people are worried that, what if they ask something I don't know the answer to? What will I do? It's kind of like the worst fear sometimes when you are thinking of giving a Bible study. But actually, that doesn't need to be a fear. That can be one of the least fears, because it is completely okay and even good to say, I don't know actually, but I will study it. I will look it up, and we can come back next week and I will tell you what I have found. And then you have booked another Bible study with them. You have another time guaranteed with them. So, and also shows your own humbleness, that you don't pretend to know everything, that you yourself are also seeking and sincere, looking for the truth. So it's all right to say, I don't know, but that I will look it up. And then look it up, study what the answer is. And then to make sure that they are understanding, ask questions to see if they are, ask leading questions to see if they are following along, and don't just leave them in the dust and talk yourself all the time, but ask them so questions like in a verse. If you, in many of these Bible studies, you have phrases already given to you that you'll find on the website, but you can ask them the question, like I did earlier here with the verse we read in First Peter. So you can ask, like, so how is it that the Bible says in this verse that we become born again? And they can look in their verse, and you wait for them to answer so that they themselves find the answer and can see it themselves. And then tithe your information. You know, you tithe your money, but also tithe your information, what you know about a topic. You don't need to tell them everything you know. Take just a small amount of it and share that with them, something bite-sized that they can remember and take with them. And just like DNA is important in our bodies, it's very important right now, and it stands as acronym for do not argue. Can you guess why this is important? Yeah, it destroys very much anything that would have been built up to then, or any possibility of winning this person to the truth afterward. Not completely, hopefully, but it is very damaging to argue. And arguing is when you are emotionally involved in trying to prove that your position, what you think, is right. And, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's a very good question, and it's a difficult situation to be in, of course. And I think that in one aspect we need to see this as oftentimes people are wanting to get us to become angry, to get us to answer back in the same way that they are attacking us, and we need to be careful not to fall prey to that. And to remain calm, and oftentimes to look for the very small, even if it's the one thing that they say accurately, to find that thing and confirm it. And don't, if they are talking about this thing that's, accusing you or something, arguing, don't pay attention to that. But if they are, you can find something, one little thing that you agree on, just comment on that thing and say, and always build that bridge. If they're having this argumentative attitude, and because that's what you need to do in any situation, is first build these bridges and affirm the things that you have in common before you go to these big differences that you have. So just resist the temptation to argue back in the same way and affirm any little small seed of that you have in common. And it's only the Holy Spirit really that can convert such a heart. We just need to remain humble and do our part, but only God can change such an attitude with someone. And also remember to go two by two. Just as Jesus set the disciples out two by two, it's important for us to go for several reasons. Part of it is just because this is a spiritual battle, and we need both of us together to be praying, just like we've been hearing from Derek Morris of the spiritual battles that are going on in some places that we don't realize. And we need that extra prayer partner to be there, to be praying for God to be there. And also, it's a very good way that they can take notes when you are giving a study. Your prayer partner can take notes of the study and then hand them over to the Bible study contact. Because if you come with just a printed out paper of what you're going to study, it's very easy for them to lose this and not think of it as very important because it's an electronic copy. There's thousands of them that can be found or printed out. But if you handwrite something, if they take a note of what you said, they're a bit more careful with it to treasure it because you went through the effort to write it out for them and so on. So it's more likely that they will keep it in their Bible and their Bible will become really thick. And then, you know, so it's good to have two people also for that reason. And then also again the reminder of being a good listener and keep a positive attitude. There's one thing that you will need to remember is never be shocked. That's, you may think, now what could I be shocked by? But I'm sure that you will meet many opportunities to be shocked and mortified or just amazed at what people will do or what you will see. For example, I had a friend who was studying with someone, a lady, and he went there one day when they were going to have their Bible study. He knocked on the door, and it took some time, and then the door opened, and there was this completely naked woman there. And he had a perfect opportunity to freak out and be shocked, and but he said, "I think we'll take this another time," and went away. So there were some spiritual issues going on in that place. But the moral of the story is, whatever happens, don't be shocked. Because many times that's what people want, that reaction out of you. Maybe they will be sitting and smoking in your face when you're having a study together. Or they will do something sometimes just to get this reaction out of you, that you'll be shocked or react to them negatively. But remember to keep calm, be calm, and never be shocked no matter what happens. And keep a positive attitude. And most importantly is to keep Christ as the center of every single study. Not only the study about salvation, but every single doctrine and study that you go through is to make Christ the center of it. Because you want people to remember that it's not just a bunch of doctrines and then you have Christ over here. No. Christ is each of these doctrines. That's a description of his character. This is who he is. And you want them to see that connection, that he is the center of everything. So most importantly, remember this, to put Christ in the center of each study. So at this time, I would like to have, if there's anyone that would dare to do it, a volunteer to, I will give a demonstration Bible study to. And then you can take notes on this other paper here that looks like this. And then you can practice this then afterwards with each other to see what it feels like, and then we will close. So is there anyone that would... You can take this one, actually, but I don't know if there's any extra ones. Here they are. No? Mm-hmm.